You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Hello, daring, dapper, darling, dings, and darths. Welcome to Good Job Brain, your weekly quiz show and offbeat trivia podcast. This is episode 121, and of course, I'm your humble host, Karen, and we are your Voltron of vocal, voracious volunteers.
Yeah.
I'm Colin.
I'm Dana.
And I'm Chris.
I call Black Lion.
What are the colors?
Black, green, red, yellow, blue.
Yeah.
Like Olympic standard rings.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah. Yellow and blue are the legs, green and red are the arms.
Wow.
Oh,
someone's a fan.
That was possibly, as big a Star Wars fan as I am, that was possibly my favorite single toy was the Voltron Lion bot set.
Yeah.
Just awesome. Awesome piece of toy technology.
It's time for our first segment, which is called 1960s Jeopardy.
Yeah.
Longtime listeners may remember that at one point at a flea market here in Berkeley, California, USA, we discovered a brand new copy of the home version of Jeopardy from the 1960s.
Frozen in time.
Exactly. And so I'm going to be giving you the answers, and you will give me the questions, but these are things that people thought that the home audience would know in the decade known as the 1960s.
Wow. Okay. Oh, this is the first pop quiz hot shot I get to play in a while.
Wow. Well, here we go. We're going to start you off. We're going to do two categories here. We're going to start you guys off with toys.
Oh.
Okay.
For $100. Oh, excuse me. It's a 60s Jeopardy. For $20.
Yes.
There is always one less seat than players. Dana?
What is musical chairs?
Yes, what is musical chairs?
Oh. Is that a toy?
Yeah. More of a game.
Yeah.
For $40. Boxers to improve footwork or little girls for fun? Dana, again.
What is jump rope?
Yes, what is who plays jump rope?
Oh.
For $60. Number of checkers each player is provided with. Dana, again?
What is 12?
It is 12!
Wow.
Yes, wow, you're doing...
It's like I work on games or something. I'm just kidding. No.
In the game of hearts, she counts 13 points against you. Oh, geez. I heard Dana again.
What is the Queen of Spades?
The Queen of Spades! Yeah. Yes.
I think Karen was early. Had that one.
What does your buzzer sound like? You never...
No,
I keep hearing the ding-dong. I keep hearing ding-dong.
That's the power of the ding-dong.
I know. Yeah, I hear it more than everything else. Okay. And finally, for $100, all of Monopoly's streets really exist in this city. Colin.
What is Atlantic City, New Jersey?
Atlantic City, New Jersey. Yes. All right. Well, we'll move into Double Jeopardy, and I'll... technically, that was Double Jeopardy.
Oh, really?
But now we'll go into Double Jeopardy, and I'll really double the money.
This seemed really easy for Double Jeopardy.
You know, some of these categories are, I really want to stress, just completely impossible. Like, showbiz. Billy Rose created this show for Eleanor Holm.
Wow.
No one at all?
Man. No. Oh,
what's the answer?
What is the answer?
The answer is, what is the... what is the Aquacade? What is the Aquacade?
I have never heard of Aquacade,
I wish
Billy
somebody
Rose, or
knew
Eleanor
the answer.
Holm.
Wouldn't that be amazing? Okay. I'm having a panic attack. Like, there's all these words I have never heard before.
You lost me at Billy Rose.
What? What?
I'm going to crank up the difficulty a little bit. Here we go. The category is quotes.
Shoot.
For $40, why Lincoln thought God must love the common man. Why Lincoln God must love the common man. I believe the quote starts, God must love the common man, ...
Mm. This is about...
This is 1860s Jeopardy.
This is about... Yeah.
So this is a quote from Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah. Yes.
God must love the common...
I'm going to go ahead and tell you.
Yes, please do.
It is the end of that quote is, because he made so many of them.
Yes.
Okay, how about this one?
That's from Lincoln, sure. So one man show.
Yeah.
Just Abe.
Just Abe.
We're still in quotes. Okay. In Exodus, it precedes hand for hand, foot for foot.
Oh, okay.
This was Dana.
Is this eye for eye? Wait, I don't understand.
Colin.
What is an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth?
Yes. What is eye for eye, tooth for tooth?
Okay. So technically, eye for eye did come before those things.
It did come before that. Well, yeah. I guess a lot of things did. Yeah. Okay. Signing, he said, not sign languaging. Okay. Signing, he said, there, I guess King George will be able to read that. Dana!
Who is John Hancock?
Who is John Hancock, indeed. After he'd signed the Declaration of Independence.
John, you took up the whole page.
At least he had good
handwriting. Yeah. Like, how bad would we look as a nation if, like, the biggest one was just, like, this ugly chicken scratch, looked like a third grader
I think
had done
it. I think you're really left-handed, John. Yeah. Like, you should switch hands.
For, I don't know, $800. why Edna Millay said, my candle will not last the night. My candle will not last the night.
Why?
Colin.
Is that because it burns at both ends?
Because it burns at both ends.
Yeah.
Nice job.
Sorry.
What is?
Finally, for $1 million.
Oh.
Quite a scale. Okay. From $20 to $1 million.
Famous command that followed, men, you are all marksmen. Colin again.
Is this, don't fire until you see the whites of their eyes?
It is, yes.
Wow!
You're all marksmen. Don't fire until you can see the whites of their eyes.
Who said that? What is that?
It says Putnam said that.
It's very poetic and very violent at the same time.
It really is.
It's kind of funny because it's like, oh, you're all marksmen. You're all good at shooting.
Right.
But...
Yeah.
I do not trust you to use these bullets until they are very close to you.
All right, good job, brains. And also, it is time for our correction segment, we lovingly call it.
Actually.
We have a couple of actuallys, and they're all entirely my fault. I apologize.
Wow.
So we had an islands quiz where you had to locate famous islands that we probably don't know where they are.
Yeah, or in our case, fail to locate.
I know, it was very embarrassing. It's good we get to talk about it some more.
So my mistake was I was unsure where the border is. South of Indonesia is where India Ocean starts. We had a couple islands, such as like Christmas Island and Bali, that are in that area, and I actually said it was Pacific. Hmm. Actually, it's Indian, so I apologize. If you do a Google image search, you can actually see the delineation of where all the oceans end.
The or maritime the area. Borders.
Yeah, which is actually, I think, pretty handy in trivia and also in pub trivia to know where exactly they end. Another, last episode, I had a language, company names based on foreign language, and you had to identify what foreign language it was of these famous companies. The game company Eidos came up, and I was like, oh, Eidos and Ethos are kind of sister words. And I said they were Latin. They're actually Greek. I am sorry.
So we did get that
so
right.
So Dana and Chris were actually right.
I say Greek, too.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so also okay. Colin.
Just for record.
I actually.
We're through the looking glass here.
Yeah. Ethos and Eidos, Greek.
Okay.
Cool. There you go. I am sorry, everybody. But thank you for all the people who wrote in and pinpointed that. Otherwise, I wouldn't have seen the ocean borders. I think it was really fascinating, especially for a geography nut. So
yeah.
There you go.
That's cool.
There you go.
Right on.
So since this show started, since we created Good Job Brain, a lot of people somehow misread our show title as Good Job Brian.
Yeah.
And that was the reason why a lot of people started downloading the show, which also caused me to not only, you know, we have goodjobbrain.com, but just in case, I also got goodjobbrian.com, yeah. And it redirects to goodjobbrain.com.
It makes me so happy that we have that. It really does.
And that gets a lot of hits. I can track it. A lot of people type in goodjobbrian.com.
Yeah.
And so that just weird tidbit inspired today's topic, and we are going to talk about the weird corners of the internet. Interesting origin stories, quizzes about the World Wide Web.
This show could not exist without the internet.
It is funny to think about this thing that is like so fundamental to like what we're doing right now.
That's true.
And like my job and all of our jobs. It didn't exist our entire lives. Like there was a point not too very long ago when it just wasn't even a thing.
It's amazing. We never fight about facts anymore because you can always it up.
Yep.
You could, before it was a mystery, you kind of had to go to the library, use the Dewey Decimal System. Yeah, it was a lot of hassle. So maybe you just never knew the answer to the questions you had.
Yeah, often on the playground, just, oh, my brother says, well, all right, that settles it. His brother's older than we are.
Yeah. He knows. Yeah.
Definitely sounds like a credible source.
And that's true. I mean, we couldn't have, I guess, I don't know, how would you make a podcast in days before the internet?
You would go on the radio, have
your own frequency.
You can make a cassette and send it to your
stuff in people's mailboxes.
Yeah. That's true.
So is this a mixtape? No, I just sit in front of a microphone and I talk about things I find interesting.
They're like, oh, okay, we're gonna throw this right in the garbage.
And so this week is our ode, our love letter to the internet and made everything possible.
Surf it, scroll it, pose it, pick it, cross it, crack it, twitch, update it, name it, read it, tune it, print it, scan it, send it, fax, rename it, touch it, ring it, pay it, watch it, turn it, leave it, start, format it. Technologic.
So it has often been said that the...
By who?
Citation needed. I have read... There we go.
All right.
I have read many times that the killer app of the internet is
porn.
Email.
Oh.
Yes, aside from porn,
okay.
Well, I mean, it maybe is a family of...
Yeah.
Email. Good old-fashioned, simple email. Email, in fact, predates the internet as we know it. In spirit of fundamental favorite things of the internet, I put together a grab bag quiz all about the wonderful world of email. So get ready for the email quiz here.
Clever title?
Get your, I didn't have time to think of a bad pun
email
title.
Email e-quiz.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah, this is why I don't crowdsource my title names. How about this? We'll call it ICC What You Did There. So please get your buzzers ready and chime in when you think you have the answer.
Right.
This first one is a two-part question, and I think we've had the first part of this at Pub Quiz before. This is a good one just to know in general.
Sure.
Who was the first U.S. president to send an email? Chris.
William Jefferson Clinton.
That was, in fact, Bill Clinton sent the first email by a president in 1998. So, for the second part of the question, for impressive bonus credit, with what famous American was Clinton emailing when he sent his first email?
Oh, Chris knows. Can I guess?
Chris knows. Yeah, take a guess. Yeah. Take a guess.
Henry Kissinger.
No, not Henry Kissinger.
He was never famous.
This person was famous for two very distinct roles as a famous American
indeed,
in his life.
Yes. Yeah.
Who is it?
It's John Glenn.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yes.
The right stuff.
Former astronaut.
From the movie.
Yeah. That guy.
Yeah, the guy from the movie. Yes, former astronaut John Glenn, the first American to orbit the Earth in 1962, and then later a U.S. senator. So at the time, you may remember, in 1998, he was famously on a mission out in space. He was aboard the Discovery for a nine-day mission. And
How old was he?
He was 77.
Yeah,
yes, he was the oldest American to go up into space. He lobbied hard to get it, and it was kind of a nice little sort of bookend, you know, to being one of the first astronauts and
one of the oldest
going up again. Right. So he initiated the conversation. He basically said, "Hey, I want to email with President Clinton. And they had been using email aboard space missions leading up to that.
Makes sense.
Yep. So, you know, Clinton, I think, wisely realized, I can't turn down John Glenn's request for email in space.
He had never emailed before that.
He had never emailed before.
1998.
It's security concerns.
Yeah.
For the White House.
Clinton has said that that was one of the
reasons. Document retention and security and all kinds of things.
So what did they talk about?
You know, Obama had to give up his BlackBerry when he went into office because he was just using his personal email address for all this stuff.
Fair enough. Mm-hmm. It's just,
it was not even on an official White House machine. Oh. He was Bill Clinton was visiting some friends in Arkansas. The friend essentially lent him the machine to it was a Toshiba satellite laptop. I've seen a picture of it. It's approximately the thickness of a phone book.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
They sold it this year.
They did. They sold it for $60,000 a little bit at auction.
Wow.
Yes. And for you younger listeners, a phone book is a object that old people use to measure thickness of things.
Several hundred pages.
Yes. It is a thickness calibration device.
Like close to a Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. 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 There's a translation scale from phone book to Harry Potter.
Yeah. Right. Right. Right.
Sliding scale.
And is it like Order of the Phoenix or Half-Blood Prince? Depends on what town you live in.
Yeah, it depends.
The Queen of England, Queen Elizabeth II, is no stranger to email herself. In fact, she sent her first email even earlier than Bill Clinton did. So this will be a closest to the answer wins type of question.
Okay.
In what year did the Queen of England send her first email? And I'll give you a hint. Okay. I'll give you a hint. It might be earlier than you think.
Oh, okay.
1985.
Karen says 85.
1982.
Chris says 82.
91.
Dana says 91. It was 1976.
Wow.
Dang.
Yes. Early, early, early. It was on a visit to a research station, a science and technology station, operated by the Ministry of Defense. As with Bill Clinton's first email, it's safe to assume she had a little bit of help setting it up and getting it ready. But yeah, she sent a message from the Army base station in 1976.
It took 2 weeks to download.
The exact details of the communication are a little bit lost. But yes, so Queen Elizabeth getting it done early on in the days of technology. Does the Pope have an email account?
Oh, doesn't he have a Twitter?
Pope Francis have an email address? Karen.
I say yes, because Pope Francis is a cool cat.
Oh.
Probably.
If he has Twitter.
Are we talking official or personal?
Yes, we're talking an official
Pope email.
You can interpret it however you like.
I'll go with yes because they have an official Pope Twitter, too.
Yeah. I say yes because you need an email account to sign up for Twitter. And he has a Twitter account.
No.
No. Okay.
According to the Vatican, although he does tweet, Pope Francis does not, in fact, have an email account.
Okay.
He, according to his aides, he likes to receive, quote, old-fashioned letters.
Oh.
Right.
If the Pope did have an email address, it would blow up. Like, it would just...
Oh, your grandma would CC him on every chain letter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Send it to 10 people, and one of them's the Pope.
That's true.
That would be so cute.
Google's email service, I like to call it Gmail. You know, that's what the kids call it.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Is one of the most popular free email systems. It's hard to believe it's been around for over 10 years. That seems to have gone by very quickly from my perspective. And even from the beginning, a big part of its appeal was they give you so much storage space for email, just order of magnitude more than existing services at the time.
And they rolled it out on April 1st.
They announced it on April 1st, and a lot of people thought it was a joke.
Yeah,
they're like, 1 gigabyte of storage, no way. Yeah,
pull the other one, Google.
This will be another closest to answer wins. Tell me, if you were to start a virgin, fresh, brand new Gmail account now, today, how much online storage space would you have access to for your various rants and cat pictures and... Mm-hmm. podcast notifications.
Like as in your terms own of account or percentage
your own personal
a new
account.
Gmail.
Okay. Yeah. In terms of gigabytes, let's say. And
closest to the pin?
15.
Karen says 15.
Oh, I think it is 15.
Chris says 15.
Don't know.
Dana says don't know. It is 15.
Yeah.
All right.
Yes.
I know because I'm getting close. 15. And it's all just attachments.
Yeah.
Whenever somebody sends you like an, you know, 2
Or I send myself stuff like just in case.
Right.
Yeah. What well-known TV character was famously revealed to have the email address chunkylover53 at AOL.com?
What was that?
Was this Kramer?
It is not Kramer. That's Karen.
Is it George from Seinfeld?
It is not George. It is not a Seinfeld character. Okay.
ChunkyLover53.
ChunkyLover53@AOL.com. This was revealed in a 2003
Friends?
Episode of The Simpsons.
I thought it was.
That is Homer's address.
ChunkyLover.
ChunkyLover53@AOL.com. One of the writers for the show registered it before the show. Just to make sure it existed. You know, as a
you
lot of TV
make sure,
shows
you gotta
will
make
do.
Sure to do that before you throw out your fake website. Yeah.
His plan originally was, you know, to write back to anybody who happened to send an email to Homer, you know, in character. After the show aired, it was almost immediately at max capacity in the inbox.
Sure.
He was flooded. He was overwhelmed. They did try for a while to answer everything back in character, but you had to just, abandon that at first.
Wow.
All right, last one. We'll close it out here with a writerly style question. According to the New York Times Style Guide, which dictates, obviously, all punctuation and style in the New York Times, what is the preferred form for the word email? Is it E-mail or E-M-A-I-L? No hyphen.
Are we all?
Jeez, Chris.
I wonder if it's been changed at some point because I know, like, for us at Wired for a while, it was E-mail. I don't know if we still actually do that or not. I don't really have the occasion to type email a lot. How about New York Times? I'm going to say E-mail.
They finally changed. Last year, it was just up until 2013, New York Times house style was E-mail.
E used to have to be capitalized.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. They were one of the last major publications to really make the shift to email, all one word, no hyphen. They joined the AP style guide, which had changed in 2011.
For where I work, esports is a big deal. I don't think this is a AP style thing, but we, as a corporate decision, decided to, well, what do we call esports? Is it E-sports or is it small E, one word, big S, esports? Is it big E, small S, one word?
Yeah.
And now it's just esports. No hyphen,
no inner caps.
Is it the S?
No inner caps.
Okay.
Really?
No inner caps anymore.
A sport.
Esport.
It almost esport. All right. Good job, guys. I won't accuse any of you of emailing it in.
I see what you did there.
I'm setting you up.
I was unwilling. Not going to give it to you. So I have prepared a segment inspired by something that always destroys us at pub trivia. We never get these right. And it's really interesting. And we're always like, we should study this, but we never really did. Until now, cause I studied it.
Okay.
So I remember once, one of our pub trivia questions was, I think the first of this kind of type of question was, if you type www.books.com, where will that take you? Mm-hmm. Where does it redirect to? And I think we had a big discussion. We're like, well, this seems like the obvious choice is Amazon. Mm-hmm. Turns out it's Barnes & Noble. Books.com redirects you to Barnes & Noble. And then we had another question probably a year after, which is, where does soup.com take you? It was multiple choice.
And if you think that books.com engendered a lot of arguments, imagine the argument over soup.com.
And I think the at least they gave us the multiple choice. It was it Campbell's? Was it Knorr, K-N-O-R-R, or was it like Progresso?
Yeah.
And we're like, well, it seems like the obvious answer is Campbell's. Turns out it is not obvious again. It is Knorr. Mm. Soup.com takes you to Knorr.com, which is a dehydrated soups and sauces. And then last week at pub quiz finals.
Finals, mind you.
The finals. The grand championship finals was, where does coffee.com take you? And we're like, all right, we learned our lesson. It seems like it is not going to be the obvious answer, which is Starbucks. We're like, okay, it must be maybe something like coffee brands that you buy. Mm-hmm. So like Folgers really or Maxwell House.
Yeah.
Turns out It was none of that. It was Pete's.com.
Berkeley, Berkeley. Silicon Valley.
Yeah. Right. Pete's.com started in Berkeley really early on.
Scene, yeah.
So here, I found a couple of these generic names, redirects.
Yep.
I want you guys to talk about what you think it is.
Did you just typing
random
words in your browser?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
Okay.
I did.
Okay.
That would do it.
Took me a while because a lot of these are parked. They're squatters.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like...
They're trying to sell it for like $1 million, basically.
Or that company is actually...
Like diets.com is diets.com.
Right.
And it's articles about diets.
Because once you get that brand name, right,
you just kind of roll it.
Cars.com, right?
Yeah,
same thing.
Car.com and cars.com. So these are definitely redirects to famous companies. Let's talk it out. Let's talk it out.
It'd be a group exercise.
Most of the time is not the obvious answer. Superheroes.com.
Marvel or DC, right?
I mean, who is more on the ball, Marvel or DC? That's really what this question is
exactly.
asking.
Talk it out that way.
One of them. Oh no, they share it jointly,
right?
I think they agreed to share the term superheroes jointly?
Yeah, but who has the web?
Who has
the domain?
Superheroes.com.
She said they're not obvious. So
okay, well,
I think
how, okay,
obvious,
so is it Marvel or DC?
It's one of those.
It's one of DC. Those. Right, okay,
I'm gonna guess Marvel. I guess Marvel.
I'll guess DC, just to be on the other side of it.
Yeah. It is DC.
Okay. Cool. Okay.
DC. Mm-hmm. All right. News.com.
News.com.
Oh, man. Oh.
Is it like Rupert Murdoch, Fox?
News Corp, or was it like Yahoo, or was it one of the early web aggregation properties?
It's like, oh man, I know this. Oh wow,
I do.
Sean's on the right track.
Is it like CNET? Is it CNET? Is it one of those?
It is CNET.
That's why I know this.
Okay. Yeah, yes. CNET. All right, let's do salad.com.
Oh, is this Hidden Valley Ranch dressing?
Yes.
Wow. I've heard this before. Yes.
Wow. Which is kind of like, I want to eat a salad. It takes you to ranch dressing.
Right. No, well,
it's good. It's very good.
They're kind of synonymous with eating a salad in America.
All right. Kid.com. There is a logic behind this.
Kid.com.
Maybe like Toys R Us?
Well, I mean, that would be too easy. I feel like it's going to be trickier. A logic
behind it. There's a logic
Kid.com.
McDonald's.
Is it Chuck E. Cheese's?
No.
Something with goats. No.
Goat skin
gloves. McDonald's. Yeah, something like, what is something?
There's something with a title called Kid.
A title called Kid? Well, that was the Chuck E. Cheese.
So, kid.com takes you to movies.disney.com.
Huh.
There was a movie called The Kid starring Bruce Willis.
I think
kid.com was probably the movie destination, and now that's been a while.
Oh my
kid.com just redirects you to movies.disney.com.
How did they get that?
On the ball.
On the ball. Man. All right. Game.com, singular.
Ooh.
Game.com.
It's Hasbro?
Correct.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
it is Hasbro.
Yeah.
Beautiful.com.
Sephora?
Maybeline?
Nope.
Okay, so not Sephora, not Maybelline.
Beautiful. Maybe she's born with it.
Cover
Maybe it's Cheese Whiz.
Beautiful.com. Are we in the right ballpark?
This is Avon. Let's think more corporate.
Avon?
Avon?
No.
Oh, is it did Dove? Did Dove have the
larger? I was gonna say that.
Larger than Dove.
Mary Kay Cosmetics.
Larger. Like,
Ivory.
Go up.
Procter and Gamble.
Unilever.
Procter and Gamble.
Okay. All right.
Procter and Gamble company owns CoverGirl, Max Factor, Pantene, Olay. All right. Celebrity.com.
People Magazine.
People Magazine.
No.
No.
Us Magazine.
No.
Entertainment Weekly.
TMZ.
There is another company that's also called Celebrity.
Oh, Cruise Line?
Oh,
yes.
Oh.
Celebrity.com redirects you to Celebrity Cruise Line.
Huh.
So very, very lucky that they got that.
Yeah.
And similarly, in the same vein, Hotel.com.
It doesn't go to hotels.com.
It goes to hotels.
Okay. I was wondering.
Well, you know that like Google, it was mentioned earlier in the show.
I had time to look it up since then.
Yeah. If you type in google.com, it goes to Google. Like if you type in 3 O's, 4 O's, 5 O's. I tried this once and you had to get to like 7 or 8 or 9 before like somebody else had stolen
it
somewhere else. Yeah.
I would love it if it was just one person, like from like 1 to 100 zeros. Some dude just had like 19.
69.
Yeah. I'm taking this one to my grave.
Yeah.
Happy.com.
Happy.
Oh.
McDonald's.
Yeah.
No.
Happy.com.
This is a very good move on their
part. Wow. Okay.
Very good move on their
So it's not like Budweiser or something.
No.
Happy.com.
Hallmark.
Is it Walgreens?
It is Walgreens.
Okay.
Wow. Walgreens at the corner of Happy and Healthy. So I looked at... I don't know if you guys noticed, in San Francisco, at least, Walgreens had a really big marketing.
Everywhere.
Yeah, they're opening more stores, they had a rebranding, and they're really
Yeah, the rebranding
kind of
is like almost a supermarket. You know, there's some places that have like fresh salads.
And, Happy.com doesn't take you to Walgreens storefront. It takes you to a page that says Walgreens have acquired Happy Harry's, which is a pharmacy. I've never heard of
this. Oh, so maybe they had it.
It could be Happy Harry's had Happy.com.
Interesting.
Walgreens also owns Drugstore.com. And,
I remember Drugstore.
Dwayne Reed.
Yeah, Dwayne Reed, yeah.
Also, so...
I remember them more on the East Coast.
Big in New York City, So I wasn't really making any kind of decision whatsoever if I went into Walgreens versus Dwayne Reed every time I was in New York City.
Nope, same store.
Gosh darn it.
And let's end it on this note. This is not really a quiz thing, but I found this really interesting. Pokemon obviously takes you to Nintendo's Pokemon destination. Pikachu.com takes you to the Pikachu character. Because, you know, of course, the Pokemon site has, like, bios for all the Pokemon.
Yeah, all 7,000.
So I was like, okay, do they own every single Pokemon name.com?
Do they?
They don't know. They don't own all. But the famous ones, Jigglypuff.
Yeah.
Pikachu.com goes to their not only Pokemon site, but their character bio site. TeamRocket.com also takes you to Pokemon. So I was trying those out.
Yeah, because they made all those names up and they tried to make them all super unique in like 1998 when they brought the game out in the U.S.
So, of course, there's a lot of unique names. They had to jump on it.
And it would, by 98, you know, you should probably start registering these URLs for your product.
This really was just me inputting random things into the URL.
Like salad, beautiful, happy.
It was like snacks. Beer, chip, fax, quiz. Like, a lot of them are either squatters, a lot of them are actual sites that kind of roll with it.
Yeah, so all those .com names got snapped up real fast, and .com is a top-level domain. So it's the top level the way .edu is, .gov, .us for the United States, .ca for Canada. So I have a quiz for you guys about very popular generic country code top level domain names. So basically, people sometimes use these country codes in order to hack, make their name say something. So,
I thought about that. Good job, bra.in.
Do you know where that is?
India, I believe.
But I didn't want to call it good job bra.
Good job bra.
For example, Google does GOO.GL, and GL is the country code for what?
GL.
Guatemala?
No.
Oh, that's good.
That's good. It is Greenland.
Greenland.
Oh,
yeah.
It's hard to think of every country.
Every country.
We really are.
Yeah. I'll try not to make this too complicated as I explain it, but basically Google has these search algorithms. They have rules for what kinds of searches you get back based on where you live and what country you're in. Some of these countries are used so much for hacking the names that they're in the global generic search algorithm.
Okay. So basically, if you lived in Greenland and you were searching for things that were relevant to your interests as a Greenlander,
you get lots of
Google has to figure out what is really relevant to your interests as a Greenlander.
Yeah, what is a hack?
And what they're just using as goo.gl or
Google has a list of country codes, and I'm going to describe the country or where it's located. They're mostly small countries that do this. Kind of what it's used for and for the name hacking or for why it's a generic country code.
Because different countries have different policies, right, on whether or not they allow people to buy these domains. And some countries are like, everybody who wants one can have one.
You have one.
You make up the gross natural product for our country.
Yeah,
this is our
main national export.
We will take your money.
Yep, but, silly puns.
Right.
Yep.
But then some countries are like, no, you have to actually have a business here to use it. Yeah, we're preserving. Let's in.
Okay.
This is a landlocked microstate in southwestern Europe, and it's located in the Eastern Pyrenees Mountains and bordered by Spain and France, and its name, its letters, are used for advertising sites. Karen.
.ad for Andorra?
Yes.
Yeah!
Hey.
Yeah. .ad.
.ad.
.ad. .ad.
This is marketed as a domain for businesses, and it is a country in Central America.
Is it Belize?
Belize.
Oh, BZ?
Yeah.
Business.
So this one is a country in the northwest part of South America, and it's bordered by Panama. It's to the east of Venezuela and Brazil. Karen.
Costa Rica.
Nope.
Colombia.
Colombia.
Oh.
Co. And the,
yes. Dot co.
Dot co.
O. Dot co.
Yes.
O. Co.
Yep. A. Dot co.
T. Co.
G. Dot co. And T. Dot co.
Oh.
Amazon, Google, and Twitter.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
This one is popular with DJs. That's all I'm going to tell you.
Oh, okay.
Karen.
Djibouti.
Yes.
Djibouti!
Yeah.
It's, it works on so many levels.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's awesome.
This one is popular with radio stations. It's an independent sovereign nation that is spread across the Western Pacific Ocean.
Popular with radio,
stations. LP.
AAM.
FM. FM.
Federated Micronesia?
Yes, Federated States of Micronesia.
Hey.
Yeah.
Okay. Like last.fm.
Yeah, yep.
Okay, I find this one fascinating. It was mostly evacuated in 1973, and there's only one, like, atoll that has population there, but they do have a domain name for it.
Okay.
And it's really popular with new startup companies and open source projects, and it is in the British Indian Ocean territory.
Well, is it IO? I know a lot of, but I don't know. I don't know what it stands for.
It's the British Indian Ocean territory. Almost nobody lives there. Yeah.
IO.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is IO just on and off? Is that what, like,
input output?
Input output.
Yeah.
Output?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this one is marketed for a Southern California city, also used for domain hacks in French and Chinese, from a country that's landlocked in Southeast Asia. Karen?
Laos.
Yes.
LA.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's pretty lucrative.
It's so specific and yet such a huge market.
Yeah, yeah. No, it is. Yeah. LA.
This one is marketed for personal websites, and it is a country in Southeastern Europe. Karen.
Oh.
Dot me.
Yes. Yeah.
And it is Macedonia.
No.
Montenegro.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. You know, it's funny because their old domain name used to be dot you. Why you?
You and me.
Yeah. And now they became me.
Because
yeah.
It's Yugoslavia. Is that
yeah,
why?
Okay. They're part of Yugoslavia. This one is for websites for Microsoft and Mississippi and the New York Times.
Oh, dot MS.
Yeah, dot MS.
Which is...
Give us a continent.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
It is located in the Caribbean. It is a British overseas territory.
Aruba, Jamaica.
MS.
MS, not Maldives.
It's located in the Leeward Islands.
I'm singing Kokomo in my head.
She's going to get there eventually.
It sounds like a fancy alcohol. It does. It's the name of it.
Montserrat.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That helped. Yeah. That was the hit she needed.
It.
Yeah. That
pushed her right over the edge.
Okay, this
one. And it's in Kokomo.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got it.
I'm seeing
I'm like,
song.
It's not going to be in Kokomo. It is.
Awesome.
I want to catch a glimpse.
Okay. This one is marketed for seniors. Websites for seniors. It is a country in the northeastern Atlantic coast of South America.
South America?
Yeah.
For seniors.
Yeah.
Suriname.
Yes.
S-E.
No.
Oh.
S-N?
S-R.
Oh,
gotcha. Wow.
Suriname.
That was good. That's really interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, the fact that it makes sense that people's got to have to separate them, filter them out.
But you got to be lucky because that's your country name. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, the countries that ended up with like
CZ.
Crapo like, domain names yeah. that like yeah, nobody wants to use. Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh. All right, let's take a quick break. A word from our sponsor.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pile-ups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org.
paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Calling all kids in the car. Brittany and Meredith here from the chart-topping Family Road Trip Trivia Podcast. Are you dreading another silent car ride with the fam? We've got the cure. Three rounds of fresh trivia every single week. Movies, music, even science and Disney. We've got something for every trivia buff in the car. No more crickets chirping on those long journeys. The Family Road Trip Trivia Podcast is your secret weapon for connecting and laughing with kids of all ages, teens, toddlers, adults, it doesn't matter. Spark their curiosity and challenge their brains with every episode. New episodes drop weekly wherever you get your podcasts. Search for the Family Road Trip Trivia Podcast and turn those car rides into epic adventures.
And we're back. You're listening to Good Job Brain. This week we're talking about the internet.
And even before the internet, Karen, there was ARPANET, which sounds kind of scary.
Grandpa Colin.
Maybe a little scary in its own way. ARPA was started by the Advanced Research Projects Agency, which was a division of the Department of Defense, basically, mm-hmm. the United States Department of Defense. And they put the money and time and resources into building ARPANET, which was really, in most true ways, the forerunner of our modern internet.
Okay, like proto.
Yeah, internet. It really was the proto. It was going to get...
They just took all seven computers in the world and that was easy peasy.
In the early days, it was a handful of interconnected computers, you know, at universities and military installations, and of course, this was also the birthplace of email. As I mentioned at the top of the show, email predates mm-hmm. the internet. So here's where email really came into its own. So prior to the rise of like networked computers, you know, you still had a need to send people messages. And so there were a lot of programs that could do this kind of thing, all the way through the 1960s in various states. If you were, you know, at MIT or the Army or Caltech, anywhere where there's a lot of computer research going on, you might have a little program called Mailbox or a little program called Send Message.
So user to user. So when you would write the message, and then when Bob came in 3 days later to use his time at that computer, he would get the message. Am I right on the
ball? At its most basic level, absolutely right. Okay, all right. Yep. And, you know, you can imagine once you start connecting computers and computer systems to other computers and computer systems, it gets a little more complicated because, you know, not only do I have to get the message across the network to the other computer, but now I need to make sure like, oh, there might be a username Chris on this machine and a username Chris on that machine.
Whoa.
And how do we handle this? Hmm. Programmer Ray.
It's not two Chrises who use computers.
Get out of town.
Couldn't possibly be. Programmer Ray Tomlinson is generally credited with inventing the modern form of email as we know it. Sort of like what he put together looks the most like our current email system, including notably, he was the first one to use the at symbol. And the at symbol, of course, has a very rich history, now forever tied up with email. And he picked the at symbol for a couple reasons.
Yeah, hold on. That was my question.
Yeah.
Before emails, the at symbol must have existed.
It did.
What was it used for?
Well, we'll talk about this. So the first reason, I mean, this seems simple now. The first reason that he chose the at symbol as the separator was, well, it was already on the keyboard.
Yeah.
You know, it was crucial to him. You know, like the goal of was to build an open system that anybody around the world could theoretically use.
Got it.
You don't want to come up with some funky character that maybe is only on your weird keyboard. It was a standard character. And so why was it on the keyboard already? Oh, and just as an aside, that really is the most common name for it. It's just the at sign.
Okay.
There are in other languages in other countries around the world, there are a lot of very colorful names for it. You know, monkey's tail or cat's tail, worm or pig's tail.
I thought it was a donut.
Yeah. We just.
But like how a hashtag is pound or sign or octothorpe.
Yeah.
The a-hole
is the asterisk. I'm
sorry. Yeah, everyone knows asterisk is butthole, right? Yeah. There's a little more stodgy name for it. Sometimes it was called the commercial at because it originally started life as a shorthand just for the word at. I'll go back to the Middle Ages. If you were, you know, transcribing documents and texts all day long, writing text, translating, you know, you would have as many shorthands as you could fit in. It eventually did kind of find its way into commerce and markets, you know. I mean, as Dana was just saying, you know, it's you go into a market, it would say 10 items at $1.95. Right. Yeah. Did you know in 2004, on the 160th anniversary of the first public Morse code transmission, they officially added the at sign.
Oh, into Morse code?
To the Morse code character set. The official, formal Morse code character set.
Yep.
This was the first time they'd added a new character, a new symbol to the set since World War I.
Wow.
This was a big deal to finally, okay, we need a separate standalone character for this.
Yep.
Imagine, like, your ship is in danger. You're like, SOS, you know, email me at, like, whatever. Like,
yeah, why would you send a telegram?
Hashtag awkward.
There's no official entry for exclamation point in the Morse code library. It has letters, numbers, some punctuation, no exclamation point.
Honestly, if you're sending out Morse code, you're probably already pretty excited about whatever it is.
Like, it's all in caps. Everything. Right. Yeah.
Like SOS, the exclamation point is implied.
Right. I put it in all caps.
Yeah.
You just type really hard. But yes, that is how important the symbol has become, that even a technology as old as Morse code has had to adapt.
And we got one more internet-licious quiz. Chris, serve it up.
Here you go.
All right.
This quiz is titled, I Made a Website. In the early days of some websites, they began perhaps as something smaller or something with a different name than they eventually turned into. And of course, we're really only talking about like the last like 20 years. Like this is not really a gradual process. You may even remember using some of these websites when they were in sort of their old incarnations.
Wow.
So if I were to say what popular website began with the name The Facebook, you would say
Facebook.
Yeah. Yes. All right. This was originally called AuctionWeb. Karen.
Oh. eBay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Pierre Omidyar, founder of eBay, had an early web consultancy called Echo Bay Technology Group. Mm-hmm. And he attempted to register in 1995, echobay.com. Somebody had already gotten to it.
Wow.
And he shortened it to eBay. Now, eBay.com was like Pierre Omidyar's website. He had the stuff about his consultancy firm. He had a really big page at eBay.com about the Ebola virus, which was just in the news. He was just really into it. And he collected it. Remember, this is like 1995.
This is his personal site.
He just collected all this information about the Ebola virus. Like there wasn't a lot of information out there. He had that. And then he added, as part of it, AuctionWeb. This website was originally called Jerry and David's Guide to the World Wide Web. Colin.
That is Yahoo.
Oh, Jerry Yang
and David Filo were grad students, and they called Jerry and David's Guide to the World Wide Web.
That's really long.
And they renamed it to Yahoo because they liked the word Yahoo, and also Yahoo stands for, does anybody want to guess this? Colin.
I think this was also a back formation, but I think yet another hierarchical online organization.
Very close. Yeah, yet another hierarchical officious Oracle. It was a backronym for
sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. This website began its life as Those Eyes. It was a list of actresses with beautiful eyes.
Weird.
Yeah, right?
IMDb.
Wow.
So it began as a Usenet posting in rec.arts.movies in the news group, and basically which let, you know, people on the internet just go to one place to just have a discussion. So one of the posters kind of just put together a list of like actresses with amazing eyes, and other people just sort of jumped in to like make other lists, just lists of directors, movies, list every movie. Because the information wasn't on the internet at this point. So then in 1990, that is when they pulled all these lists together into a searchable
database
in 1990 called the Internet Movie Database. And it went on the web in late 1993. Hotwired. Okay. What originally started as Hotwired. Karen?
Hotwired.com?
Hotwired.com. HOTWIRED.com.
Wired.com.
Wired.com, yes.
Yeah. No, that's my guess.
That's
is
my
it
guess.
Wired?
Yes.
Oh,
it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who's on first?
I don't know. Third base. Hotwired.com was the original. Not only was it the original website of Wired, also hosted the first banner ad.
Wow!
First banner
ad. What was it for?
It was for AT&T.
Wow!
First banner ad. You guys are online marketers. You're like, what? The first banner was there? Yeah.
And was it one of these days. 60 pixels wide.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's going to come up in trivia one of these days. Yeah. First banner ad, hotwired.com.
That is
now
a good
wired.com.
That is
yes.
a good one.
AT&T. Well, at least it wasn't Punch the Monkey. Or
I know. It's like one secret, one weird secret.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, you lose 20 pounds in a week.
And it was, and it was a virus. So, by what brand name is the company formerly known as X.com best known as today? That is the letter X.com.
Oh, I got a
this
good
PG.
I'll tell you that I use this today. I use it quite a bit, and I think I may have even used it back when it was X.com. When I was first told about it was X.com.
Who was
X.com. You still use it.
Yep.
Is it Craigslist?
It's not Craigslist.
Don't know.
If you type in X.com today, it redirects you to eBay's corporate page.
Why?
Why indeed?
Yeah. What is it?
X.com is PayPal.
PayPal.
PayPal. PayPal was a product of a company called Confinity. X.com also ran an early internet payment site. They merged, and they were calling the whole thing X.com, but then it was like, it sounded a little too sexy.
Yeah.
So they changed the whole company to PayPal.
Yeah, I don't want my money to be involved with anything that seems wrong. Like, X means wrong.
Yeah, it's true. That's a good point.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And finally, what company was originally known as Twitter? T-W-T-T-R.
Never heard of it.
Let me think.
So, yes, originally, and there are some screen caps of this page, because, again, it wasn't that long ago, Twitter was originally going to call itself T-W-T-T-R, like Flickr.
Yeah. There was that trend for a while of just removing vowels from your name.
Yeah.
I guess companies are still doing that.
Yeah. They still are.
And they abandoned that pretty fast. Yeah, my first post of like every single major social media service is pretty much just like, hey, I'm not doing anything here. I'm just here because people are on here and they're talking about stuff.
And then later.
Yeah.
Listen to my thoughts. I'm Chris.
Guess what?
All right. And that is our show about the internet. Thank you for joining me. And thank you guys, listeners, for listening in. I hope you learned a lot of stuff about the at symbol, about old websites, website domain, website redirects. And you can find us on iTunes, on Stitcher, on SoundCloud, and also on our website, goodjobbrain.com. And thanks to our sponsor, Squarespace, at squarespace.com. And we'll see you guys next week.
Bye. Bye.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.